Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb, and I'm here to talk with Barry Weinhold, Dr. Barry Weinhold, who is a licensed psychologist since 1976 and a university professor for over 35 years. He is the author and co-author of over 50 books, and today we're going to be talking about his new series called Real Men. And Dr. Weinhold has participated in men's support groups for over the past 38 years. He's married and has been the father or stepfather to 9 children, so he really knows what he's talking about. So welcome, Barry.
Thank you, Laura. Joy talking with you and talking about this subject, which is one of my favorite ones. I also work in my private practice mostly with men, so over the number of years I've been practicing as a psychologist, I've seen many, many men, and many of them whom are fathers and have lamented about the fact that they didn't have the skills that they needed to do the job.
Mm-hmm. And we talked a little about that before we got on the phone, that this is such, to my mind, I think this is one of the biggest issues facing our culture. And, you know, I know that, for example, women my age and younger, and we really grew up believing that there was an equality of genders and just thinking that was the way the world works and always has worked. But the reality is the changes, you know, history has not worked that way for the last thousands and thousands of years. And so the relationships between genders and the relationships between gender and parenting have not quite been figured out. And I feel like I have a front row seat on this issue also in my private practice, and I wanted to share with you an article that one of my clients had sent me, and it's called The Sexodus, The Men Giving Up on Women and Checking Out of Society. And I think it really speaks to the confusion about gender roles. And, you know, one of the first quotes from the article says, "My generation of boys is effed. Marriage is dead. Divorce means you're screwed for life. Women have given up on monogamy, which makes them uninteresting to us for any serious relationships or raising a family. That's just the way it is." So, not to throw you a curveball, but I think that that really is kind of the watermark of the confusion out there in gender roles that, you know, for many we just kind of have taken for granted. Well, of course there's equal gender roles, but we really haven't figured it out. So how does your series, The Real Men, help out with this problem?
Well, I think part of the problem is that in our culture we have emphasized the masculine and we have denigrated the feminine. And so not only are gender roles kind of not equal, men and women are walking around with half a person.
That's a great way to say it. Yeah, I love that.
What's that?
I love that, yeah, that it's not just about men and women's equality. It's about men becoming more feminine, and women have already achieved a little bit more masculine power in society.
Yeah, and hopefully there will come a time when we're all pretty well balanced and the culture will support us developing both sides of our personality, the masculine and the feminine. But up until now, historically, we've seen the masculine has been predominant and the feminine has been denigrated and ignored, and I felt there was something needed to be done about that. And I also, in my own life, have worked very hard to develop my feminine side, and I found the benefits of that to be very enriching. So I'm also sharing in my books about what personally I found works for me and hopefully would work for other people.
That's a great place to start off, and I think that people listening to this one of the questions is going to be, well, what are the benefits to a man to integrating the more feminine qualities? And I could probably talk for, you know, 3 hours more than that about the benefits of that and certainly in culture. But you've really gone through the journey on a personal level. So what are the benefits?
Well, I think as a woman, I know that you probably, and maybe many women that are going to hear this, will resonate with the fact that they've been kind of waiting for their men to catch up.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I sympathize with that. It's been a hard job to try to raise your kids on your own without a lot of support from fathers and many other places in society, which women have to kind of take a second back row seat to mm-hmm. what men are doing in the world. And so I think we're heading in the right direction. I'm an optimist, and I see among a lot of younger men a lot of hope that they are waking up and seeing, wow, I need to be more involved with my kids. And I think the skills that I'm talking about are really the things that any good father would do. I mean, be able to display genuine empathy towards his children, particularly when they're experiencing some deep emotions. And up until now, many men don't know how to do that. And they, if a kid comes to him and says, oh, I have these feelings, he'll say, go see your mother. Because he don't want to deal with it. And in my research for this book and this whole series, I found that many men are carrying a lot of guilt and shame about that. They now are realizing that, boy, they missed out or they didn't do a good job as a father. In fact, in my survey that I sent out, I had men email me or actually call me and say, I can't fill this out. It's too painful. I don't want to look at all that. When I asked them about what they did that worked and what they did that didn't work as a father, and what would they do over again? Those were the three questions I asked them. And pretty simple questions, I thought. But many of the men that I sent it out to said, I can't do this. It's too hard.
Yeah, I mean, it goes so much to your first point that you're walking around as half of a person if you can't have that emotional connection to your children or your spouse or, you know, to anyone.
Right. It's. I think there's a lot of deep sadness and guilt and maybe even shame that men carry around, particularly fathers carry around in looking back and reflecting. Some fathers don't ever reflect on this, so it never bothers them. But the fathers that are serious and look at what they did or didn't do as a father have some deep laments and deep sorrow about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you're saying really highlights the issue that we're not talking necessarily about gender equality between women and men, but equality within a human being so that there's not half people walking around.
That's right. It
seems really obvious to me that the incredible benefits to the children, as you know, you talk about in this book about the male mother. And the benefits to the children are we're not going to be raising broken adults anymore, which seems really clear to me. What are going to be the specific benefits to the men who began to integrate the feminine?
Well, they'll feel better about themselves, for
one.
I think they'll begin to see that there's a lot more to life that they missed. They'll be able to enjoy life, I think, at a deeper level and a more expansive level. Men who aren't in touch with their feelings or have not really looked at, not connected the dots about what happened to them as a child growing up with possibly an absent father. And in many of the men's support groups I've been in, that's been a predominant theme. This father hunger and the loss of the feeling of a loss of when they talk about their fathers. And so I think that many men will begin to reclaim that in their lives and begin to act much more responsibly as fathers. And as and all my books in the series are devoted to men. And the second book is about the servant leader. I mean, we think we have leaders who serve us, but we actually know that they don't. And so there's a gap there that has to be filled. And I think there are some tools and some skills that anyone who's in a leadership role could use to balance out so that they have more options when they are faced with decisions they have to make. And then the third one is about wise elder and the fact that eldership and all of that in our society has not been really fully utilized. And I think it's an underutilized resource that we have. Our elderly can help mentor younger folks and share the wisdom they have. Obviously, some do that as grandfathers, but I'm thinking more generally they could offer that to many young boys, for example, who don't have a father or have an absent father. And then the final book is about the open-hearted lover, which to me is a capstone of the series because it really talks about combining the feminine principle of Eros with logos. And this results in creative energy that really brings about an inner union of what Jung called the anima and the animus, the masculine and the feminine. So mature male lovers who are at ease with their own deepest and most central values and visions have integrated both their masculine and feminine sides. So I'm seeing this as really a series that will help men become more who they can be. Instead of settling for who they are, there is much more expansive kind of information tools now that help men lead much more fulfilling lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of men, because they don't have this set feminine side developed, are living in quiet desperation, which is kind of...
Right, so the quote about most people live lives of quiet desperation, and that for many men that's just been a reality throughout history.
Absolutely, and that's now shifting and changing. One of the things that happened to me when I first started doing this, I was on the table getting acupuncture, and I said to my acupuncturist, what do you think about this idea of a male mother? And I described to her what the skills were that I was trying, the nurturing skills, the empathic skills, and compassion and all that. And I said, your husband's a musician, isn't he? She said, yeah, he's a folk singer and writer and travels all over the country. And I said, well, run this by him, see what he thinks about, is the music world catching up to this? Well, she said, she read the list of my skills, and she said, oh, my goodness. Go to his website. Everything he writes about is in this venue, in this vein about helping men develop their feminine side. And then while I was still on the table, she called her 20-year-old son, who's also a musician, and he rattled off about 10 musical groups that are writing music just for this kind of thing, to help men develop their feminine side. And I said, yes, there's support out there now developing in the culture, which is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And the young people are getting it, and some older people who are grandfathers are starting to reflect on their experience and decide they want to have a more meaningful role with their grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that with my grandkids, and it's been very fulfilling for me.
Mm-hmm. And so there's direct benefits, you know, to the life of the male who begins to embrace some of these other qualities in terms of they're going to have fewer regrets.
I think the book The Male Mother is written for fathers, but any male man or any male could gain some things from reading that book, as well as women. I think, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of women have been waiting for men to develop these things, and they'd like to know what's possible here, and so they can help support their partners in developing these more feminine qualities.
Mm-hmm.
That, there has been some kind of, some resistance sometimes in women who don't want their men to be more feminine because they feel like it's going to take over their realm in some ways. But not many men, women feel that way. I think that's changing as well, and women are beginning, as you mentioned earlier, to really appreciate the fact that men who show up and are present with them as parents is a tremendous benefit to them and to the kids.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd be interested to learn more about, in terms of, as men began to value, I mean, I think before there's like a skill set, there has to be a valuing it. You're not going to go out and, for example, learn how to ski unless you think it's a good thing
right.
to do. So in
the
terms,
whole chapter in the book about the resistances that exist in society to the male mother archetype, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
So men will have to face those, and they'll need support. So one of the things I'm planning to do, I'm now in the process of writing a facilitator's manual, and I'm going to engage therapists who run groups in their practice to run male mother support groups for fathers, where they get the kind of support they need to overcome the obstacles.
Mm-hmm. And so those obstacles, in part, have to do with, you know, a loss. There is some loss that men may feel when they have children, in the sense that they have lost some autonomy. They have lost some choices. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of men say when they have children that, you know, that it becomes more of a sacrifice. There's fewer risks that you can take because the stakes are so much higher. There's so many people dependent on them. And
Right. So
there can also be this sense of loss that comes with becoming a father. And then at the same time, you know, you're kind of suggesting that it's an opportunity to begin to become more whole as a person and to integrate some of these qualities, which it's interesting that we call them feminine because it's you know, it seems like they're basic human qualities of caring and empathy and,
right.
you know, and just listening.
Qualities that in many cultures are valued more than they are in ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, is that we have to get the culture up to speed so that they can value a much broader set of skills and behaviors and attitudes for men than they have. In my book, I particularly focus on men and fathers performing 4 important initiations for their children to provide a secure foundation for them to become responsible, mature adults. Maybe I'll talk about that in a minute. But it starts with being present at the birth of the child and, if possible, cutting the cord.
Say cutting the cord, do you mean that literally, the umbilical cord?
I mean that literally, cutting the umbilical cord.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
And in some places, they allow that when the blood stops flowing through the umbilical cord, it has to be cut, and often the obstetrician will cut the cord. But in some places, they allow the father to perform that. I mean, it's a very simple operation to do. And that also creates, in my mind, the beginning of what I call a divine family triangle. Now you have the energies of the father, the mother, and the child all blended and bonded together. And that's the first initiation that men have to, and anyone who's present at the birth of a child is automatically bonded to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the research has shown that. So just being there, showing up is a big part of the job. And then the second and more important initiation is that they have to facilitate the completion of what I call the psychological birth of the child. And that happens about ages 2 to 3, when the child is beginning to explore the world and separate and become a separate human being. And my research and the research of others shows that if there's not a bonded, compassionate father or caregiver present, the child is not able to complete that fully. And so we have people growing up who don't fully feel like they're an individuated person. They have to still kind of rely on what other people tell them to do. They have no internal self to help them guide them through their lives. So that's an important initiation for fathers. And in my book, I really detail that down to the minute, here's what you say and do to make this happen with your children. And then the third one is helping your children achieve mastery of everyday tasks and showing them how the world works. That's been typically a role of the father. Some fathers have done a great job with that. Others haven't. But it is an important part of helping the child go out into the world and know how to navigate in that world. And then the final one grows out of that, which is helping the children, your children, learn to negotiate to get their needs met and resolve conflicts in a peaceful way, and then also how to cooperate with others.
Mm-hmm.
All that can be taught to the child. Actually, the last two, it's mostly by example.
Yeah.
As fathers take their children out in the world and how they interact with the world, the children are taking copious notes, and they're going to notice how their father does it, and that's how they're going to pattern their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an important. These 4 initiations are extremely important, I think, to help children have that foundation they need.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess, you know, as we're kind of winding up here, I think one of the big questions that I have for you, because it's obvious that if we could get all these men to sign up to what you're saying, to value being empathic and nurturing and connecting, to take seriously the idea of, you know, these different types of initiations, you know, that the world would be a better place, that our children would be less broken, that our male adults would be more whole. These are all good things. And, and I think overlooked in the culture as we focus on equality between the genders and not the psychological integration that we as clinical psychologists spend our life facilitating in people.
Right.
But how, if you're a woman, what can you do to make a partner or a man value this transition to becoming a more whole person? What is it that a woman can say that can really make this seem like something for that a man would value? And then, you know, I tend to think of this, a lot of this work happens in therapy.
It does happen between couples, and
right.
I think women do have a responsibility to make known their needs and make known what they want from their partner in terms of parenting, in terms of showing up at things that happen in the lives of their children, and mm-hmm. and to really push men to do those things.
I mean, just to interrupt for a minute, because I think that if a woman says, this is really going to be a good thing for me, you know, you know, that sets up its own sort of power struggle. But I'm really interested in because I think it's a good thing for the men, that
yeah,
it's about them becoming a whole person. And how can you convince a man that it's a good thing for him to be a whole person with his in touch with his feminine side? And not just because it benefits the woman.
Research, it's clear to me that men at some level know that they're not fully equipped to do all the jobs that they have to do as a father or as a parent or even as a employee or a boss. And so it's almost like fake it till you make it has been mm-hmm. the main way they've coped with that. But I think now they have to understand that and begin to catch the notion that I could do this a lot better and
mm-hmm.
I could feel better about myself doing these things. So I think there's a kind of an internal motivation that has to develop in men. They can't
yeah.
do it because somebody else tells them to do it.
Right. I've tried that before.
Right.
Doesn't work.
So it's still up to the men to take more responsibility for developing both sides of their personality and mm-hmm. being able then to use those skills and those tools that they develop in whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm getting from this conversation, and we're going to end up here in a minute, is that this is sort of the second wave of the feminist movement, and that the first wave was women actually, you know, having, you know, integrating their masculine side and having the barriers to that removed. And
well, it's also the second wave of the masculine.
Right, movement. Yes, for both of them. Yeah, I agree with that. So I think this is a real revolution. And
yeah, the men's movement initially focused on just developing the masculine side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, beating the drums and doing a lot of rituals that were mostly masculine-oriented. Now I think there has to be a similar kind of movement for men to develop this side of their personality. And I see it happening. I see it beginning to take hold. And I think I gave one quick example. Back in August or somewhere during the baseball season, the second baseman for the Mets, Daniel Murphy, took off to be at the birth of his child. Sports writers went crazy. One stupid one said, well, why didn't they just have a C-section?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But Chris Hayes up with Chris Hayes on MSNBC brought Daniel in and interviewed him, and Chris also is a young father.
Yeah.
And they all talked about the importance of fathers
yeah.
being present at the birth of their children. And as a result of that, I've noticed that every time a child was born to a baseball player during the season, they took time off. They took paternity leave.
Oh,
it
that is really sweet.
Almost immediately.
Because
all of them been waiting for somebody to break the ice. And when Daniel Murphy did it, it gave everybody permission to do that. And as athletes, they're models. So if they begin to model this kind of behavior, it's going to
yeah.
give fathers and men more permission to do this.
Oh, that's really beautiful. That is such a really heartwarming story to end on. I love to hear that. And so I like that we've kind of clarified that your work is really not only the second wave of the feminist movement, where you value the feminine, not just the women in the male world, but you also value in men, it's the second wave of the men's movement. So we've gone from beating drums and being the primal man to being like, oh, okay, I can help with the kids too. And so I'm really loving this. Where can people find you?
Well, I have a website. It's very easy URL. It's just weinholds.org, the plural of my last name, weinholds.org. And then the book is available through Amazon, both as an ebook and as a print book. So you can go on Amazon and type in The Male Mother, and you'll have a whole page of information about it. And there's a lot on our website about The Male Mother and the series, The Real Men series. So those are places people can look for more information. Our website has a lot of information that men could use on helping develop their feminine side.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Barry. And so, again, the series is called The Real Men Series, and the book we've been talking about is called The Male Mother. And I know I've also talked to you in the past about codependency and counterdependency. And so I am a big fan of your work and your revolution here, your second phase. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Laura. Enjoyable to talk with you, and it's a topic I obviously am very excited about, so I welcome any opportunity to talk about that with anybody.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.